You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Never mind. Yeah, Liverpool are out of the fucking Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Combat Podcast. You don't want to be here. We don't want to be here. Of course we fucking do. We want to have fun. We want to chat. And we welcome to the new therapy session, because this is what it fucking feels like right now, is having a fucking therapy session. It's Jay, it's Mick, and it's Tim. Boys, Liverpool have sadly been knocked out of the Champions League. Absolutely devastating there. I think that hurts a lot more than it probably would have done if the game hadn't gone the way it's gone. But Mick, how are you feeling right now, mate? Because I am ready to just hit the bottle. Like me mum.
Yeah, we get personal in this pod. We get background stories, and that's one of them, but we won't go into that today.
We do when we lose, mate, definitely.
No, I mean I posted the Salah like screenshot in the group chat there, and I know you're hating me for it, but that it felt like a hinge there. Like we all said, we need an early goal, and that like 28 goals for Salah this season, you expect them to bury that. And I know we can't just pin all our hopes on that one, but there's a load in that first half that if we put at least one of them away, then second half we come out with a bit of renewed vigour and we can at least go, right, we need one goal here, that's it. Whereas when you get getting towards the last 2-3 minutes and you're like, we need two, it's like, well, there's not a hope in hell, especially without a fan in the stadium. So it's just, yeah, it's just disappointing. But we can't, it's kind of, being a realist before the game, I was trying to G myself up as much as I could, but in like, it was going to be a tall task, wasn't it? Like, no fans in the stadium. It was always going to be a tough ask. So it's kind of what I expected, to be honest. If we would have done it tonight, I would have been the most shocked I've ever been in a Champions League tie, to be honest, to do it with no fans in the stadium.
Yeah, that's a really good point, isn't it, Tim? I think when we might as well just go through the game as quickly as we can in terms of the chances and stuff like that. But I think the thing that everyone's just sort of like really pissed off about is that early Mo Salah chance, isn't it? Like Mick said, I think if that goes in, the game is completely different, isn't it? But the longer the game went on, the more Madrid got into the game and the more we looked quite similar to the way we looked last week, didn't we? But I mean, let's just start the first half. That Mo Salah chance, mate, that goes in. I mean, he should be scoring there, shouldn't he? For fuck's sake.
Yeah, well, I mean, if anyone else can look at the screenshot, and I'm sure you'll see it on Twitter over the course of the next day or so, be it from a Liverpool account or a Man United one, or, you know, from whoever it might be, you just can't help but think that he should have taken a touch. Yeah, he had so much time, and he probably kind of felt like there was someone just behind him, so he probably had to hit it first time, and he kind of scuffs it a little bit. But, you know, he had enough time to take a touch and slot it past Courtois. Yeah. You can't, it's not up for debate. You know, he is absolutely world-class, and you expect nothing less from him. So it's almost more disappointing that it was him that missed it, because you can't look at it as an excuse of, oh, he's out of form. So, yeah, you kind of expect it. But yeah, Mick's right. As soon as you miss that and you think back to the Barcelona semi-final, you think, well, you know, as soon as there was a chance early in that game, we took it and that was game on. And you just think, as soon as we wasted a chance of that, we thought, well, you know, there's only going to be maybe, if we're lucky, one more chance of that quality in the game. So all of a sudden that put the odds of us coming back and winning it very
much. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Mick, I was quite encouraged that first 15. I was quite impressed the way Liverpool started the game at it. It was what we...
Is it just my antenna or is it yours?
No, I can't hear him either.
That's just the way the fucking game's going, mate. But what we're saying was, at the beginning of the game, it really looked like Mane was up for it, and it looked like that first 15 minutes, I just thought, right, we're having a go here, which is more than what we did last week. And it was the start we wanted, because that first 20, 25 minutes, it looked really positive for Liverpool, didn't it?
Yeah, and you just praying and hoping that one of those chances goes in. Like we said, the Salah one, and then there's a couple of more where you just kind of think, well, I mean, it's hard to keep saying it over and over. If there's fans in the stadium, it's a different game, but it is, because it affects us the most, and it jeezes up the most, and it gives us the most kick up the arse and the most in the world. And it's a shame that we didn't have anyone there tonight, but... Yeah, it's a good Madrid team who, like Mach Manaman kept annoyingly saying, oh, they're really comfortable on the ball. They're really comfortable both feet. Yeah, we know that, Mach, stop saying it. It's a different... But
listen, right, with that, right, this... I get it, he's a Liverpool player. He's an ex-Liverpool player, but he's also an ex-Real Madrid player where he won big titles.
Yeah.
And he's got to stay quite neutral when he's playing, when he's commentating on the game. You know what I mean? So we've got to stop with the McManaman hate, in my opinion. Not you, just in general.
I'm totally on that, but it's just stating the obvious. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, they're comfortable on both feet.
It hurts more, doesn't it? It hurts more, because you're like, yeah, yes, it's like, fucking no, it's fucking annoying.
Yeah, it's like, we all know that they've got quality throughout the whole team. Left foot, right foot, Modric is a wizard, Casemiro's boss, they've got Cruz, who's a fucking boss both feet, we know it all. But it's just like, fucking hell, it's just... Like we said, the fans in the stadium would just gave us that extra 5% we needed tonight, and it was just,
you're right.
It's a shame that we are lacking when they're not there, and obviously I won't even go into the fucking injury shite, because I'm sick of saying it over and over, but Phillips did well tonight, Kabak did well the time he was on the field, but it was we could have been playing anyone tonight, and we probably wouldn't have scored. We could have been playing West Brom, and like Real Madrid, like me and Tim were touching on before we started recording, like their corners, they were only throwing four up, keeping six back. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were like, well, I'm not going to commit men forward, because we keep six back, keep them penned in, and there was no urgency from them at all going forwards. It was like, well, as long as we keep enough men back, we can kind of stifle Leeds, because they've not been great in the league this season. Cutting edge-wise, not great. I mean, the last couple of games, we've kind of found our form a little bit, but coming up against a team, we were like Mach Manaman said, good on both feet, can keep the ball, can kind of take the sting out of everything. That's the worst type of team for us to come up against when we're not fit and firing and got everyone fit.
Yeah, no. Mick, where do you think it went wrong for Liverpool tonight? Not obviously we had so many missed chances, but just off that, the lineup seemed like it was working, didn't it, in that first half? I thought when we made the changes and we went to 4-2-4, I thought we looked a little bit off. I thought like the pace had gone out of the game. It felt like the sting had gone. We weren't as quick to the ball, weren't as quick to second balls. And I just thought, I mean, he had to change something. He had to gamble at some point, didn't he? Because it went so long without us fucking scoring a goal. But do you feel that because obviously one of the big talking points for Klopp's games is always, was the lineup right and were the substitutions correct? So let's box that off now. Did you think the lineup was right and the subs happened at the right time?
I was surprised Thiago didn't start. I think we all were in a game with this magnitude and with the pedigree he's got and how good he is. That was a surprise, but Millie done well. And then you've got the subs that came on 60. What was it, Thiago for Millie, and then you've got Hotter for Kabak. The Kabak one, where he's done that in the last game, I think, where he brought Kabak off and then put Fabinho back in. I mean, if you want to go for it, go for it. Just fucking go 4-2-4. And if we concede another, who gives a shit? That's the mentality. Yeah, true, yeah. But I think he was just, he had one eye on, like, there, Pacey, obviously Benzema and fucking Vicinius. Then Rodrigo comes on, he was really quick as well. And Trent done really well tonight. But to be honest, lineup wise, I wasn't like fuming. I was like, well, whatever happens tonight, it's whoever we put on the field, we've got a good enough squad of people coming back from injury, like Shaq and Fabinho and whatever else, that we can kind of put a good enough team out there. So it was just maybe needs to go for it. But that being said, like that first half, like we just said, we had loads of chances. If we put one of them away, it's the being clinical, which we haven't been doing. If we put one of them away, that's what the game's all about, putting the fucking ball in the back of the net. If you don't do that, you're fucked. And we just didn't do that in the first half. And if we would have, then we might be having a completely different discussion now.
True, mate. Mick has just pointed out there, Tim, about the lack of being able to put the ball in the back of the fucking net. And that, I just couldn't believe how much we just couldn't finish tonight. You know, Salah had a number of chances. Bobby had a chance. Genie had a fucking unbelievable chance towards the end of that first half. And I thought he would have at least fucking hit the target on that one. But that's what hit us tonight, hasn't it? The fact that we've missed all those chances. And like Steve just said, lost the game in the first half, the first leg. You should never have been in that position coming to Anfield. But when you can't finish your dinner, you don't win football matches. Disappointing. And he's spot on, mate, isn't he? Because we couldn't finish in the first game and we couldn't finish in this game either, could we? And it's sort of been like the story of the season, hasn't it?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think that what we saw tonight, well, over the two legs, really has been a culmination of what Liverpool have been about this season. It's been, you know, a little sloppy. We've looked really, really good at times, but then in the most important moments, it feels like we haven't kind of rose to the occasion. And it happened again tonight, and, you know, we can... It's easy to put it on fans not being there. And, I mean, we as Liverpool fans, we all know that does make a legitimate difference, especially when you're playing at Anfield. But you just can't help but kind of feel... Like, at this point, it was... I didn't feel gutted after the game. I'm a bit numb to it at this point because it wasn't anything different than we've seen in the last kind of in the last few weeks. Like, yeah, we picked up a little bit of form in the.
Keep talking. Get them in.
We've picked up a little bit of form in the Premier League, but for the majority of the season, that's what we played like tonight. Is what we've kind of looked like. So, yeah, it's I kind of numb to it at this point, and yeah.
Does that mean I've got to start playing Linkin Park? Numb to you now.
Yeah, pretty much, mate.
Fair enough, mate. I'll send you that later.
Anything but Slipknot.
Fuck you. Fuck you. I'm not having this shit. Not here. Not now. I'm already in a bad mood. I don't want to be in more of a bad mood with you. I love you. Don't say Slipknot shit. You're going to get everyone in the comments now. Chris Kelly's going to fucking pipe his fucking nuts off now, isn't he? Going, Slipknot shit, meh. Yes, Chris Kelly, it's Corona. Yes, I'm a big fan of Corona. To be fair, actually, Chris. Of course. Should I just drink one of them and just be like, fuck it, just relive old times?
fucking hell.
Well, that's the thing, innit? You know, when you look back at the chances that you've had in a football match, Mick, you're like, oh, that's, I mean... The way I can't really sum up the season any better than that performance, really, because we're having the missed chances there. We've had players that have been missing, but you know, you can focus all you want on the domino effect of. Are you fucking serious? You put that comment. Who put that comment? Tim, was that you or was that Mick? It was you, wasn't it? You Matt Phillips bastard. That's fine. If you start saying Metallica is shit. Or Killswitch Engage, then we really have problems. Then you get booted out the fucking podcast. So
it is.
I knew it would fucking bite. That's fine. Fine. You can say something, but you say Metallica or Killswitch Engage, that's when we've got problems. But yeah, you're just winding me up now. What was we even talking about? We're supposed to be talking about a fucking football match here. Keep it professional, boys. People watching. People subscribe to this shit. You know what I mean? They pay the good money. They don't pay fuck all. It's fine. Mick, ask me a question. What do you want to ask me? You might be valid as well, isn't it?
My question is, I'm just looking at the stats now. 5 shots on target, 9 off. Is that just the summary of our season? Only 5 shots on target at Anfield in a game we need to win? I think it is.
It does, mate. And it made me laugh when Darren Fletcher or McManaman at the end of the game said it was quite ironic that we went out and Alisson hadn't had a touch of the ball. You know, Alisson made some a couple of decent saves, didn't he, with Vinicius and Benzema and them. But it was one of them where that is the telltale signs. Now, it's getting worrying, mate, because Salah's such a fucking great goal scorer. But what worries me is when he's having chances the way he has and he's taking a little bit longer than he should, rather than just like snapping at it, like first-time shots. Because there's been a couple of times tonight where he took two or three touches on the ball before he had the shot. And by that time, you've got the Madrid players in a better position to block it. So, yeah, it was definitely the telltale sign. 14 attempts at goal against Real Madrid, and we couldn't put half of them on target. It's frightening. It's frightening. But like we said, we've experienced it many, many times this season. I'm ready for this season just to go cut, start again and crack on. But the thing is, we haven't secured top four yet, and that's a big focus for us now. That has got to be, obviously, it is our only focus at the end of the day, but it's disappointing, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? We need a goal scorer. Do you know what I mean? Jota has shown glimpses of that, but we need somebody who's going to put ball in fact, and there you go, and Cole's just come in with it. We need a number nine. We absolutely do. We need a Torres. We need a Suarez. We need a Fowler. We need an Owen. We need an Ian Rush. We need someone who knows how to put the ball in the back of the net. Carlog as well, the same thing, need a number nine. Firmino's been non-existent recently. Jota must start instead of Mane too. It's a good point because Mane again was great in that first half. I thought he was a little bit quiet in the second half, and maybe it's a time to really shuffle the pack now, Mick. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I'm trying to be as optimistic as I can. It's like, well, we've got to put all our eggs in one basket now. In the final seven games of the season, what were 3 points off top four, 21 points to play for. Yeah, 21 points to play for. So 21 seconds to go. Go and check out the Harvey interview.
Get that plug. Fucking plug. Get the plug out. What was that about 21 seconds, Mick? Yeah, like, 21, say that again.
21 points left to play for, but if I just go, say 21 seconds, then we've done a little interview with Harvey from So Solid, who's famous for that 21 second song. So go and check that out. That was a laugh with Harvey. We've done a couple with Harvey, actually. So go and check both of them out. But yeah, it, trying to be as optimistic, an optimistic gimp as much as I can be. Then we can Leeds on next Monday, isn't it? On the 19th, is it? Or this Monday coming, sorry. Monday coming. That's going to be difficult. They've just beat Man City. So that's going to be a difficult game. We need to be fucking bang up for that. And we just need to kind of, well, go for it as much as we can in the league now and kind of secure it and just kind of, like you said, Jay, like, get to the end of the season and go, right, that was a pile of shit, but at least we've made top four. At least we've got Champions League. At least we've got loads of players coming back in who's going to completely transform our game and prove that this little run of games without them, we've all been proved right in terms of how we've been playing and how much we've missed them, because I don't think people quite understand, do they, just how much we've missed them.
They don't, mate, but you've just made a really good point there that I want to throw back to Tim. Tim, is this papering over the cracks, what Mick's just said there? And that's, you know, that's not a slight on you, mate, because it's how everybody feels, isn't it? You know, everyone said all season, once we get Van Dijk back, once we get Gomez back, once we have a solid defence, which make Trent and Robbo more comfortable going forward because they know they've got the solidarity at the back, make the midfield start ticking a bit more. So we might see the Thiago we actually bought next season because he's got that stability behind him. Is this papering over the cracks, or is there certain things that worry going into next season with the current squad that we have?
It's a tough one. It really is, because regardless, I think that we should probably strengthen the squad. As to whether we make changes to the starting 11, that's probably up for debate. I would certainly say that this is like if Usain Bolt ran the 100 metres and pulled his hamstring and pulled up about 25 metres in, you'd go, well, I fancied him to win it, but you never know, really, because he might have fallen over or, you know, something along the lines. But yeah, you have to fancy your chances. You know, we know what this team is capable of. We've seen it 3 years straight. And, you know, it's, again, you can't understate just how important a player, you know, Van Dijk is and the quality he possesses. And everyone that looked at him and said, oh, you know, well, he's just filling the gap. You know, Alisson was a big difference. This is the kind of stuff that proves just how important he is and the kind of quality of player that he is, and that kind of a player that takes you over the top and to the next level and being the best team in the world, the difference between being the fourth best team in the Premier League or fifth or sixth or wherever we finish and the first best team by 18 points. He's that kind of a level of player. He gives you that security. He's, you know, he makes a difference going forward. He makes a difference coming back. He allows the wing backs, the full backs, even sorry, to bomb down without a second thought in their minds. So, you know, I'd certainly say that for me, with the players we currently have, I think we'd probably either win or challenge for a Premier League next year and do the same in the Champions League. I would like to see some quality on the bench, some more quality, game-changing quality on the bench, and maybe keep some of the guys that we're talking about, maybe reshuffling just as even quality coming off the bench or coming off the pitch, or giving us 60 quality minutes to come off and someone else give us 30 quality, high quality minutes. But I don't think it's time for a reshuffle. I think we've got a group of players right now who are still in their primes, albeit coming towards the last 2 or 3 years of it. But I think that you take advantage of that 2 or 3 years and you ride this wave until as long as you can, and you fill in gaps as players start to fall off in form.
Yeah, really, really good points there, mate. And again, I think this may not be something that everyone needs to sort of overly panic about, considering how well this squad has played. But Mick, I want to come to you now with two interesting comments from Carl Hogg. He said, do you think that you make the top four? Or do you think the lack of finishing and squad depth is going to be a defining factor in that? So we'll take that first, and then afterwards, mate, he said, is Klopp doing something wrong? So Mick, let's come to you. For these, mate. So do you think that we make the top four, or do you think a lack of finishing and squad depth is going to be a defining factor in it? So will we make the top four?
I think we do, but I don't know if that's just me being an optimistic bastard as I usually am. But Leeds on Monday, and then we've got Newcastle at home, United away, Southampton at home, West Brom away, Burnley away, and then Palace at home. So there's quite a few difficult games there. It's so hard to call, isn't it? I mean, I don't want to sit on the fence, but it's just fucking, when you're looking at West Brom and you're looking at Burnley, and you're like, they're just going to sit back and just fucking take as much as they can and just probably get a draw. And you're just like, well, that's the team you want to play least right now. You want to be playing, like, I think people looking at the lineups going, the fixture run-ins and saying, oh, Chelsea play all the big teams. It's like, well, that's kind of like a positive in a way, because you know they're going to at least come out and kind of try and win the game. Whereas West Brom and Burnley are just going, all right, we've got 2 games left of the season, got 3 games left of the season, we're not going to take any chances, we're just going to hang in here and try and get points and fight for the lives. And that's what we're not good against, and Madrid did that perfectly against us tonight. So I think we do make it, but I think it's going to be skin of our teeth. Like, 21 points to play for is a lot, really. But we just need to start with Leeds. If we beat Leeds, and then I think there's a lot of teams who start playing each other around us, then at least we've just got to hope and pray that someone drops some points. But I'm hoping that we can do it. But I just don't know. It's so fucking hard to call, isn't it?
It is. Tim, let's come to you for Carl's second question. Is Klopp doing something wrong?
I don't think so. I think he's had a tough season in terms of who he's been able to pick and the consistency he's been able to pick those players. I think that if we make top four, we can't pretend like that's not a very, very good achievement, considering the squad that he's had to put out for the majority of the season. Like, we can't look at the last 3 months ago, it was Klopp's fault, you know. He's not had the normal world-class crop of players to pick from, so he can't go out there and put the ball in the net himself. You know, he's setting up the way that he's seen consistently win over the last 3 years and win a Champions League and a Premier League, and going, all right, fellas, it's not the same crop of players, but we've embedded this style of play, you know, throughout the squad over the last X amount of years, so you guys need to go out and perform and do the same thing. And we haven't been able to consistently field the players that have been able to do that. So I don't think it's a Klopp thing. I think that he's even looked to change the systems at times this season to try and make different things work. So, you know, introducing the 4-2-3-1 instead of just consistently banging on the 4-3-3, and, you know, he's put people at Fab at centre back and switched him back. So I think that he's been trying different things, and I think that will actually help down further down the road. I think that, you know, I think halfway through the season he said he feels like a better manager this year because he's actually having to work through things as opposed to just sticking the same 11 out there and just watching them win basically week in, week out. Yeah. So he's actually having to work on things and probably learning a little bit more about his players and what their proper strengths and their proper weaknesses are. So for me, Klopp's probably had a bit of a learning curve this year in terms of, you know, exactly that, the quality he's been able to put out and, you know, getting to know his players a little bit better. And maybe in that sense, maybe he's learned a little bit about what the team needs to boost in the summer. So we might see some really, really quality signings in positions that we might not see that we need this kind of off season.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Good point. Cole has obviously come in and said he needs more than a number nine, he needs a regeneration. Some players need moving on. Elliot needs a chance next season. Fucking well, 100% agree with that. I can't wait to see number 67 playing again. Chamberlain and Shaka, not Mahrez and Cancelo, spot on. Who do we need to buy? Oh, I don't even want to go into fucking who do we buy for, but Jesus Christ, God knows who we can. Well, we can do a fucking show on that in the summer. But Cole makes a really good point, mate, doesn't it? It's not just a number nine we need. There are the squad. We've spoke about this so many times. I mean, players off the bench to make a difference, because it was clear there that with Shaka Knox coming on, we were all sat there going, when Jota and Thiago came on, we were like, right, this is quality coming on the pitch now. Something might happen. But, you know, Ox and Shaqiri coming on, it wasn't the rub of the hands, was it? And so it was just like, right, okay, we'll just see what happens, wasn't it? And that's no disrespect to them two as players. It's just that's the levels, isn't it?
Yeah, I just think they're players who you kind of, if they're in top form, the quality, but they don't get on the pitch often enough to kind of make that kind of impact. And they're coming on for Sadio Mane and Bobby Firmino, who are players you kind of want to keep on the field, but you can't just go fucking, I don't know, put six players up front, which we all wanted to see towards the end, but you can't really do that. I mean, Klopp wouldn't have ever done that, but yeah, Carl's completely right. We need to stay. Need a prime Mick Moran at CF bags, man. Yeah. Fucking Steve knows from pro clubs days on fucking on the Xbox when I used to bag this one. They need someone like that who's just, like we said, gonna put it in the back of the net, and we need players around. Yeah. Oh yeah, FIFA days. Now we need Harvey Elliott coming back is gonna be a big one. Getting rid of like Origi and all those other players, like we've said over and over, like we just needs to be a plan in place to kind of like Cole said, people coming off the bench, it's a like for like quality, and it's not like, well, this player's coming on, but if he has a good game, then we could be in for a chance of getting something from it, but we don't know. Yeah. It's kind of like a gamble. Every time we bring someone on, it's like, well, it could work, but it might not, and it's that kind of that kind of thing going into, especially games of this magnitude up against Real Madrid in the second leg where you need to win. You're preying on Ox and Shaq to come on and kind of pull something out of a hat. It isn't really fair on them either, I don't think, just for, obviously, their great quality, but they haven't had enough game time to kind of get any kind of momentum going. But yeah, it needs to change in the summer, and I imagine it will.
It does indeed, mate. Well, listen, it's 26 minutes now. We want to finish before the 30 mark. But this will be the last Reds in Europe show, obviously, for the season, sadly. So let's just get both of your thoughts on who's going to win it. So I'm going to put out there anyone but City. Don't give a fuck, as long as it's not Man City. Tim, let's come to you, mate. Who's going to win the Champions League?
I think PSG will. I think that... Okay. Judging on, I mean, I watched the game last night, and Neymar, I've always thought he's overrated, but my God, what a player! And to pair up a guy like that with Mbappe in a competition that's only over two legs, you're not going to keep clean sheets against a side like that. I think Man City's back line are really, really going to have their work out, and I think that they might not be able to get past it. So I actually think it'll be a Madrid PSG final. I think PSG will nick it and actually get over that hump that they've been trying to forever, and Tottenham will look like twats for letting Pochettino go.
I fucking love it. I agree with you there, mate. I'm going to throw my hat in there and say PSG as well, mainly because of obviously the mentality from last season, you know, getting to the final and not winning it. And I think, you know, they've had that taste, haven't they, this squad, to think, right, let's win it. And, you know, maybe Mbappe's thinking it, well, I want to win it with PSG before I go and play for Liverpool. Keep drinking, Jay. Mick, go on. I'm just throwing it out there for the kids. So you go with me. Are you agreeing with us, or are you going for somebody else?
Yeah, I do agree with you guys, to be honest. But I'm just praying, like City, I'm just praying they don't do it. I mean, we always have this thing. Oh, you want to watch other English teams do well?
No.
Do you fuck? Maybe 20, 30 years ago that was the case, but that's not the case anymore. We don't want to see City win it, but the squad that they've got, the fucking quality. But watching PSG last night, like Tim said, Neymar was just fucking gliding past everyone for fun, and it was just like, wow. Mbappe is just through with a pass of, like, not even like an eye of the needle pass, just the ball in behind, and it's like he's in, and he looks like he's going to score every opportunity. So yeah, PSG are going to be fucking hard to beat with that team. They look really, really quality.
They do, mate. I think that's what we're all praying for. We hope PSG do it, because I don't want to see Real Madrid get another one. You know, you've got 13 of them. Fuck off, you're not having 14. I don't want to fucking see Chelsea win it again. Jesus Christ. Yeah. My mate Luke will be fucking unbearable. I can't be asked for that shit. And yeah, the last thing I fucking need is City to win their first European Cup. Absolutely fucking no chance. Absolutely no chance. But there we go. We're about to hit the 30-minute marker. We appreciate everybody who stuck with us this long. Not just tonight, since the start of the podcast, we really, really do appreciate it. And everybody in the comments as well that has joined us tonight, we appreciate it. Jake's joined us as well, Jake Toplist. Yuki has joined us again all the way from Southern California, mate. So hopefully, you know, it's been a good watch for you, mate. Chris Kelly. Yeah, sometimes I'll thank you, sometimes I won't. Tonight is not one of those fucking times. All a joking, mate. Steve Williamson, nice to see you again, mate, as well. We appreciate you joining us as well. Carl Hogg as well, one of the greatest human beings I've ever met in my life. Just something stuck in my throat there, yeah. But yeah, again, thanks to it. And obviously, Mr. Colin Banks as well, who's always fucking coming in with the good shit as well. We appreciate it. And Ria's Misery as well. We did see your comment, mate, which transfer do you think we'll put? We're actually going to do a specific show on that towards the end of the season, so please stay tuned for that. As always, we appreciate everybody's comments and likes and interactions again. Don't forget about the relationship we've got with Manscaped as well, with the code that we've got at the bottom. They're doing some fantastic stuff with men's charities, and it's very, very well modelled by Tim. We've got some more stuff on Manscaped coming up as well during our shows as well. We really appreciate if you could visit their website, see what they're all about as well. They're doing some really good shit with some charities, which is just amazing. Yeah, it is a cheap plug, Mick. Absolutely is. You know, check out the channel, see what you like. Listen, we might not have won tonight, but fucking hell, we've got a really good relationship with the European Cup, and we'll come back for it next year. So let's go Reds marching army. Let's go fucking get this top four, and let's just finish the season on a fucking positive. And we will see you for the Leeds game. Ta-da. Podcast Network.